The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Right forward, sweeps it rink wide left point. There's Eklund. Right back to Macklin Severini. Back to Klingberg. He wants it back. Macklin gets it. Throws it toward the front of the net. Bouncing play. Will Smith had a chance. Larson, really good defensive play in front. And the Kraken clear toward the empty net. Score! So with the timeout, the Sharks pulled their goaltender. Nedeljkovic put the extra attacker on, and at 16:31 of the third, that strategy did not work. Jaden Schwartz throws it all the way down the ice. It will be a shorthanded empty net goal to make it 4-1 Seattle.
Yeah, it was better. They were better tonight. So, again, I liked our effort. We did some good things. I thought we were more physical, which is something that we talked about. So something we can build off. The result sucks. I thought we did enough things to kind of be there at the end. And unfortunately, that's just the way the game goes sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're there, but we got to get in front of the goalie. Right now, he's making good saves. But if we can get in front of there, get a rebound or something, we got to change a little bit of the mindset of just how we score the goals. Like I said, it's a lot of good things, but we still need to get that grittiness and like those goals in this area. So obviously something to work on.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And how are we all doing? It is Sunday, November 16th. The Sharks are coming off a defeat at the hands of the Kraken, and they sit on the season now at 8-8-3, 19 points through 19 games. They are 4-3-3 at home, 4-5-0 on the road. They are 6-3-1 in their last 10, and they have lost two games in a row. They started off the road trip with a relatively miraculous win against Minnesota. Then they had one of their worst performances of the year at Calgary. And then they had a decent performance against Seattle, but couldn't get their offense going once again. I guess the most concerning thing out of this three-game road trip was the fact that they only scored a handful of goals. They had two in the game against Minnesota, both of which were assisted by Macklin Celebrini. They had none in the game against Calgary. Again, one of their worst performances of the year. They bounced back with a better performance last night against Seattle. They created more shots. They created more chances, but they could not create more goals. They could not capitalize upon power plays and turn those opportunities into momentum in which they could take over the game or get themselves back into the game. And thusly, if you only score three goals in a three-game road trip, that is not going to bode well for your chances of winning very many games. And we all knew that this was relatively going to happen. We knew there would be some sort of a correction, that the Sharks were not going to be winning 8 out of 10 games or just winning at the clip that they were when they had their great rectification, as I'll call it, after their 0-4-2 start. But I do think that one of the things that we're watching for after these two losses in a row is to see what happens with San Jose next. Can they stop the bleeding at two games? Because if we go back to the last couple of years, it seems like once they had this little win streak from October into November, or 2 years ago in November, because they didn't get any wins in a couple years ago in the month of October, is what they were able to do shortly thereafter. So can the Sharks stop the bleeding at two games and start winning at maybe closer to a 500 clip over the next five or six games? And can they do even better than that? They have a four-game homestand coming. They have games Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday next week. Do the Sharks have an opportunity to put themselves in a better situation to get more wins, to get more points, to get the offense going again, to get the power play going in particular? That's the big question I have. There are some things that we've liked with the Sharks right now. The penalty kill has been phenomenal, and I think that's something that we have to give a lot of credit to with the coaching staff and with the guys individually, because they saw that they weren't playing well. They corrected it, and now it seems like the penalty kill is a relative point of momentum for them where they can take some wind out of the opposition's sails and give themselves a chance to turn that in the opposite direction, because they have had shorthanded goals, they have had shorthanded opportunities, and they've been able to handle the pressure when it's come to them, because that's a game management moment, right? Like when the other team has an opportunity to take control of a game, to take advantage of a situation, how do you respond? The other part of that, however, though, is that when you're on the power play, you need to be able to capitalize. Now, in the first period, they were able to capitalize. Macklin Celebrini with an absolute beautiful feed to find Alex Wennberg. And you know, that's just one of those plays why Macklin Celebrini is so good, is he sees through traffic that Wennberg has his stick on the ice, is ready for that play. But Macklin Celebrini also realizes that he has a limited and closing window of time to get that puck across. So he rifles it across like a slap shot. Alex Wennberg, strong, hands ready, absorbs it, redirects it, puts it home, and gets the Sharks a 1-1 tie at that point. And you felt like they would hopefully get a little bit of momentum going from that point. It's one of the things that I appreciate about the Sharks this year is they've been able to find a number of late period goals, oftentimes involving Macklin Celebrini. But maybe in this instance, because it was so late, it wasn't like they were taking a lead. It was the equalizer, and then the period was over shortly thereafter, that Seattle didn't have to panic or anything. They got the bell. They were saved by it, relatively speaking, and they had the opportunity to kind of relax, regather themselves, and get set for that second period. Now, in the second period, we have the situation in which Will Smith's goal is not counted, and that's one that just bothers me because, in my mind, and I would have said this if this were for the Kraken as well, I would have said that's not an intentional sweeping or kicking motion towards goal. Will Smith is losing balance. He's falling into the net. He can't even see the puck. And instead of the Sharks being up 2-1 at that point, they now find themselves in a situation where shortly thereafter, Adam Larsson scores a goal to make it 2-1. And then Tolvanen scores a goal about 38 seconds after that to make it 3-1. And the Sharks are suddenly in a multi-goal hole on the road and having to chase a game on a night where up to that point, their offense had not been able to produce much. They'd had more shot creation. I think that's important to note. But I also know that when we look at the entirety of that game, Philip Grubauer came in and turned back the clock and looked like the guy who, you know, used to make deep runs in the playoffs with Colorado. So that was relatively impressive. That was a great performance from him. And when we look at those goals, you know, the Sharks did not do a great situation to really keep Seattle from scoring when helping Alex Nedeljkovic, who I thought was really, really good last night. I know he was on the hook for 3 goals, but I think if you look at the first one, he's in a bad situation. The second one, he's screened. The third one, it's another bad situation, 2-on-1. That's not Alex Nedeljkovic's fault. I mean, yes, you would love if he could make a save in those situations, but they put their goalie in a bad situation, and he made the other stops elsewhere at different big points of the game. And so I'm not, you know, really, really going to be upset with Nedeljkovic when this is said and done. I think the Sharks' defense needs to be better around him. And, you know, last night when we look at the defense, I think that was not one of their better games from the blue liners. John Klingberg had a number of plays where he took bad angles or got beat or was not in the place that he needed to be. If you look at the 2-on-1 goal, it seemed like there was a little bit of confusion. You see Shakir Mukhmudulin start to pinch and step up. I think he thought he had help from behind from Gaudette, but suddenly no one was there, and it led to that 2-on-1 situation, which was a bad spot to put net in. And then there were other instances where it just looked like there was a little bit of confusion overall. Roles were a little bit caught up, and that's, I understand it's a learning situation, but you know, John Klingberg and, you know, Dmitry Orlov, they were brought in to be veterans and brought in to make the big plays at the big moments. And it seems like both of them last night had two of their worst games, on top of each other in the same game. And it's not a blame game. I'm not trying to, you know, say, oh, this is why they lost. That's not why they lost. I'm just saying it was noticeable to me that neither of them had good performances at all. And when you also look at the fact that it wasn't a game where you had Timothy Liljegren out there. I don't know if he's a little bit banged up. I don't know if the Sharks were just giving him a rest, what it was. But, you know, the defense, the blue line core was not having a great night. When you combine that on a night where Philip Grubauer was really good, where the Sharks, you know, just couldn't get a whole lot of great offense going. They created more shots, but it wasn't like they were creating a number of great A's. It led to a performance where you kind of thought to yourself, like, huh, this is one of those nights where the Sharks are better than they were against Calgary, but still not good enough to win. And I think that what we also saw during this three-game road trip was the fact that you had Macklin Celebrini create all the goals. And I'm not saying that he's the only thing that created the offense, but he assisted Will Smith's goal against Minnesota. He assisted Colin Graf's game-winning goal in Minnesota. The Sharks didn't score in Calgary, and then he assisted this goal in last night's game to Alex Wenberg. And so you have to recognize that the Sharks need to have more than just Macklin Celebrini. Not that I don't have all the confidence in the world in Macklin Celebrini. I'm just saying you need more than him. You need more than just him to be able to make the plays happen. And yes, I know that William Eklund had a hand in that assist last night to Alex Wenberg, but it does make me think that, okay, they're sending messages for a reason. Tyler Toffoli has been dropped to the third line, and I know that he's working through something. He's not acknowledging it, but Ryan Warsawski kind of did in his place. But they put him on the third line. They've got Colin Graf playing, you know, on the second line. They're trying to figure things out. I know that they called up Zach Ostapchuk with Jeff Skinner going down, which, by the way, apparently isn't as bad as we all thought it was going to be. So credit to him for being incredibly tough, apparently. But, you know, right now with the Sharks, offense needs to happen. They were scoring at will not too long ago, and now they are in a situation where they are, you know, just not finding that offense, not finding that rhythm. Macklin Celebrini is not as red hot as he was. I imagine that when they go back home, there's a chance that he picks back up again. But you need Kurashev to be able to step back up. You need Gaudette to get going again. You know, you need Will and Mac and Toffoli to get rolling. You need William Eklund. And William Eklund, to his credit, since he's come back into the lineup after being injured, he's been really aggressive and he's been really active. And I'm surprised that he has not been rewarded with a goal. I would imagine that those are coming when they get back home. And that's part of this early bang-bang schedule is that, you know, the Sharks have had a couple of road trips already. They've had 500 road trip on that four-game back east. They had a, you know, 333 road trip on getting one out of three on this one. But if they are going to, you know, not be a dominant team on the road, then they need to be a dominant team at home. And we need to see what the offense turns into when they're back home this next week, because that, to me, is one of the biggest and most important aspects of what this team can be is, are they able to win at home? You know, we flirt with the P word, playoffs, but are the Sharks going to be a team that takes advantage of their home ice? And that is a critical, critical aspect for any team that wants to be in that conversation. Right now, the Sharks have 19 points on the year. They are 3 points back of Edmonton and Chicago, who occupy the final two wildcard spots in the West. And I know you're thinking, Ted, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We don't need to start having that conversation. And no, we don't need to start having that conversation, but it's something to pay attention to. Ryan Warsawski yesterday said they're not there yet because, of course, he's not going to say, yep, we've arrived, all done. Let's wipe our hands of that previous narrative and let's start just shooting for the playoffs. No, he's challenging his guys. He is showing them that they need to do more, that just to be good for, you know, a couple of weeks is not how you get into the playoffs. It's a long year. You need to figure out how you're going to be part of that narrative all year long to be in that playoff picture. And a big part of that is winning at home. So let's see what they do on this homestand. I think that if they want to be in that playoff conversation, 500 is not good enough. You need to win three out of these next four games. And that's a big, big challenge for San Jose. But again, we talk about the steps of what this team needs to do to grow. It's being a winning team at home. Tuesday night at Utah, get some vengeance for the way that you played against them last time, which was one of your worst performances of the year. Then the Kings, you know, you give them a 3-0 lead the last time they're in your house and you're not able to bounce back. You know, you get back into it, but even still, you end up losing 4-3. Ottawa, you know, that's a winnable game, in my opinion. And then Boston, they're not as hot as they were, but it's the second night of a back-to-back. The Sharks have had some success on back-to-backs already this year, so let's see if they can do that again. But those are not bad teams. Those are also not the best teams in the league right now. So what can the Sharks do? Then they go out on the road. They're going to be taking on the Avalanche, and then they are home against Vancouver, and then on the road against Vegas. So, you know, having Colorado and Vegas in two out of three on the road in the next three after that homestand, that's not going to be easy either. So again, challenges persist for San Jose. It's going to be very curious to see how they step up, to see what they can bring to the table. And again, you know, you've got five of your next seven at home. How many of those can you win? And how do you manage those games on the road? It seems like the Avs have been absolutely rolling against everyone that isn't San Jose. And then when you look at Vegas, that's a game that the Sharks were not able to capitalize upon previously when they had a great chance to win on opening night. Can they get some, you know, vengeance for that game? Can they keep that as part of the mindset, but not let it be all encompassing and play their best game to win? Yes, you would like some revenge, but also you need to stay focused in the moment. So again, a lot of things at play for San Jose right now. The offense is cooled down. The power play isn't what it needs to be. You had a bad game from a couple of your defensemen, but do they react? Do they respond? Do they step back up? Or does this two-game losing streak start to build into something greater? That's the biggest question I have right now and why I'm viewing this under the guise of opportunity for San Jose. I talked about this last night on NBC Sports California in the postgame. The Sharks' response now after losing two is going to tell us a lot about how much growth this team has or how much growing they still have left to do. All right, let's get into some of the highlights from last night's game. Seattle striking first.
Back inside the Kraken zone. Seattle just kind of throwing it around as everybody's changing on the fly. Alexiak and Montour out at the moment defensively. Alexiak's first pack, so goes off the right boards. Here's Stevenson, gets underneath Klingberg, moves in, throws it in front. They score! A right-handed shot on the left side of the defense, and he gets beat down the wing by Chandler Stevenson. And Stevenson waited for a second, and Jaden Schwartz put the stick down in front. He should get credit for the goal, and it's the Kraken one and the Sharks nothing.
Alex Nedeljkovic almost made the save on that play, and I know we don't play in the role of almosts in the National Hockey League, but considering Ned had just been away from the team and what he described as a stressful situation, I don't know what exactly was going on, but the fact that he stepped back in and looked every bit as good as he had before this little step away from the team, that's a very, very good sign. Sharks goalies are playing very well last night. I know that he's on the hook for three goals last night. He's not the reason those three goals were scored. So suddenly the Sharks are in a 1-0 hole, but they do get a response, a big power play and needed goal for San Jose with a new look power play. It's hopefully something they can build upon, because in their other five opportunities on the night, they did not find the back of the net on the power play.
Here's Celebrini with it into the slot. Tipped that there by Will Smith in the bump position tonight. He knocked it off to the near sideboards, and Eklund gets. Now to Klingberg, now to Eklund. Left circle, play to Celebrini. He shoots, tip, score! What a great job. Tic-tac-toe. Celebrini sending it toward the net with both Will Smith and Wenberg in front. And it was tipped home, and the Sharks have tied this game 1-1 with 17.6 seconds left in the first period. And that is a power play goal.
So again, a great goal for San Jose to get them right back in it towards the end of the first period. But when you get a goal with just 18 seconds left in the period to tie, it seemed like Seattle caught a break at that point, because they had just made the change at netminder with Allen going down and you had Grubauer having to step in. So suddenly you are tied, but the Kraken get a chance to rest and regather. We go into the second period. It looks like the Sharks take a 2-1 lead on a breakaway from Will Smith, but the refs did not see it that way.
Now Smith steals it away from Dunn. He has a semi-breakaway. Smith all by himself now, moving in, stick handling, shooting it!
It's going to count, it's going to count.
That is across the goal line. The net is off the moorings, and the referee says no goal.
After reviewing the play, the puck entered the net. As a result of a kicking motion, we have no goal.
As I said previously, I do not agree with that assessment. I did not think it was a goal. Unfortunately, my opinion does not count on how this all goes down when all is said and done. And then that's where the game really changes, because instead of being up 2-1, it's a 1-1 game, and then Seattle has two goals about 40 seconds apart. We've seen that before from San Jose, and we don't want that to creep back into their game, but Seattle was able to take advantage last night.
Letty is pushing. Now Klingberg getting a piece of his man Eberle, but Beniers came over and spun away from Celebrini. Nice move. He cuts behind the net. He leaves it there for Marchment, but Marchment can't give it back to Beniers. Instead went back to the point, and they score! Holding onto the puck while the traffic was set up, and all he did was take a wrist shot that went up top. Not sure if Nedeljkovic saw that until the last second, but it gets by, and now it's 2-1 Seattle with 3:55 to go in the second period. 2-on-1 developing the other way. Stevenson coming in, throws to the right, they score! By the score of 3-1 with Ilya Tolvanen getting the pass on the 2-on-1 break. He's a left-handed shot on the right side, and boy, did he let that thing rip. It got by Nedeljkovic, and the Kraken suddenly have a two-goal lead.
Another misread.
So suddenly you're going into that third period down 3-1. And what's frustrating here is that San Jose did have opportunities in the third period by way of three power plays, and they couldn't capitalize. And then you get to the point where you're running out of time, it's an empty net, and the Sharks are down 4-1. That's game.
On the right boards, whips it rink wide, left point. There's Eklund, right back to Macklin Celebrini. Back to Klingberg. He wants it back. Macklin gets it. Throws it toward the front of the net. Bouncing play. Will Smith had a chance. Larson, really good defensive play in front. And the Kraken clear toward the empty net. Score! So with the timeout, the Sharks pulled their goaltender. Nedeljkovic put the extra attacker on. And at 16:31 of the third, that strategy did not work. Jaden Schwartz throws it all the way down the ice. It will be a shorthanded empty net goal to make it 4-1 Seattle.
Now, it's not like everything out of this game is bad. This was not some horrific game from San Jose. They just weren't quote-unquote good enough to walk away with any points out of this one. Now, Will Smith had a really good game. I thought that he was aggressive. I thought he was active on the ice. I thought that it was easy to see what kind of an impact he had the potential of making. I thought William Eklund was good. I liked Alex Wenberg's game. Obviously, Macklin Celebrini was not at his takeover a game best, but he still assisted the game's only goal, as did William Eklund, and Alex Wenberg got in on it as well. You know, I liked what I saw from Zach Ostapchuk, who was up in the lineup. I thought Colin Graf was good again in his opportunities out there, whether it was with the second line or whether it was on the penalty kill. I liked Alex Nedeljkovic. I liked what the Sharks did to respond from a very, very rough game that they had previously against Calgary, but ultimately they need to be better than that to win. And I think that's just the takeaway, is that they were able to ride some momentum, get some wins. Everything was clicking. Everything was trending in the right direction. But now the question is, can they get back on the winning side of things again? Or does this turn into a longer losing streak? And one of the things that obviously needs to change is going to be the offensive production. And I'm curious to see if there's any going to be any sort of a call-up from Quentin Musty or Igor Chernyshov. Maybe that's part of the narrative, especially with Jeff Skinner down. I know Jeff Skinner had been playing on the third line, but that's not the role specifically of a Chernyshov or a Musty. But I also do look at the fact that, hey, you've got the need for offense right now. Those guys are playing great. Is this their opportunity to step in for San Jose? And Colin White's another one. You know, he helped the Barracuda come back and get a 4-3 win last night against Ontario. And that is great for the Barracuda. They've got points in seven straight games, by the way. But, you know, these are all the questions that we're asking of the San Jose Sharks right now and of the franchise, because you drafted these guys for a reason. If the offense isn't stepping up right now, are you going to be able to turn to these young players and say, okay, here's your opportunity to step in. What can you do? And I have the same question for Luca Cagnoni. You know, if he gets called up, if he gets put out there, they're going to expect him to quarterback the power play. Is that going to be an opportunity for him to make something happen? They have these players. I know they've been trying to slow play it and allow them to have as much development as possible. But, you know, the Sharks don't want to let the season get away from them, but they don't want to let opportunity get away from them, because the longer the Sharks can push the issue, the longer they can be in this narrative of thinking that they have a chance to make the playoffs, not that they do, but to think they do right now, it tells you more about what this team can be, of what they are and are not, their positives, their strengths, their deficiencies, their weaknesses. That's what you're trying to figure out right now with a lot of these young players, because if you get into a season where, again, you're out of it early on, the narrative changes in the urgency in the games and just the overall cloud surrounding the team. And we've seen that for the last couple of years. We've seen how the Sharks play when they are quote unquote out of it. And I think a lot of us want to see how the Sharks play when they're in it, when each game just matters a little bit more, when each game gives them a little bit more to play for. And the longer that you have that type of a narrative, the longer that you have more pressure packed and meaningful games, the more you learn about players, about coaches, about systems, and more. All right, let's get into some of the post-game reaction from last night. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski after this one.
Yeah, again, I liked it. We did a lot of good things tonight. You know, we had some good chances, good looks. You know, we make a couple mistakes there in the second period, and they end up in the back of our net. And it was a better effort. We had some good looks, didn't go in. Something we can build off.
And it's important to see the positive within the negative. And I don't just mean silver lining, because when people say silver lining, I feel like they ignore a lot and just say, well, there's positive there. And Yeah, I think you do see positive there, but it's a chance to see the positivity while acknowledging the negativity out of the game, the lack of offense, some of the defensive miscues. Those are the things you need to work on, but also the effort, especially creating more shots after you had such a dismal performance against Calgary. You come up with a much, much better performance against Seattle, especially considering how many block shots there were on the other side of this. I mean, the Kraken blocked 25 of the Sharks' shots overall, and the Sharks had 26 shots on goal. That meant there was a relative level of creation. What I didn't see enough of, however, was the fact that the Sharks did not have nearly enough grade A's. They didn't ask hard enough questions of the defense, of Grubauer, in the dirty spaces. Those are the things that they need to get better upon and have a better performance when they head into this four-game homestand. I spoke earlier about what type of a game Will Smith had. I thought he looked really, really good, really active, and Ryan Warsofsky was in agreement.
Yeah, I thought that was Smitty's one of his better games as far as compete, skating with the puck. Again, did some good things. Definitely a step in the right direction for him.
You want to see more from him, obviously, on this homestand. You want to see more from everyone. But it's important that in the midst of difficult circumstances, a three-game road trip and the rubber game of the three-game road trip where you have a chance to make it a winning and or losing road trip, that you do see these guys have good performances. Like I said, I thought William Eklund was really good. I thought Macklin Celebrini was really good. Will Smith was really good. Those are your three players that are part of that foundation for the next stage of this franchise. And even though Alex Nedeljkovic was, you know, on the hook for three goals, I thought he was good. He's an important part of where this team is right now, even if we don't know if he's going to be here for the long term. If guys step up in big games, I think that's the most important part of it. Zach Ostapchuk, like I said, he stepped in and had a good performance. That speaks to the depth of the franchise right now. And obviously the Sharks were due for a correction. So they've lost two straight. They got that win in the first game of this three-game roadie at Minnesota. Relatively miraculous because you're down 1-0 all game. You get the late equalizer and then the overtime winner. You earn points in a game that didn't look like you were going to get much of anything. You have a bad performance against Calgary. You bounce back with a better performance against Seattle. But that's probably part of the learning process for the San Jose Sharks, is to recognize that they weren't good enough in a game where all the breaks were not going their way. In some of these wins, they've had the breaks. They've been able to catch things. The pendulum has swung their way. That was something that didn't happen in the last couple of years for San Jose. Now, it is worth noting that San Jose made those breaks happen their way. They played well enough to where they got into a situation where they could help force that pendulum in the opposite direction. That's a big part of being a better team and improving team of the NHL, is controlling your destiny, relatively speaking. But in the games where everything is not going your way, what are you going to do? They were able to do that against Minnesota. Again, it was not their best game of the year, not their worst game of the year, but they kept it a one-goal game until late. You could say relatively similar to their game against Calgary. They were not good. They still gave themselves a chance late into the game until, you know, Calgary was able to get that second goal. And then in this game last night, it's a 1-1 game. You get two bang-bang goals against you. You're down 3-1. The game still doesn't get away from you. You give yourselves a chance, but it wasn't a blowout loss. They didn't give up. They didn't get rolled over. So even in the losses, we are seeing a little bit more from San Jose, which was part of the narrative that we wanted to see this year. Have the goal differential be better. Have the efforts be better over the totality of 60 minutes of hockey. And for the most part this year, we have seen 60 minutes of hockey or close to it. That doesn't mean they've been perfect games, but they have been better games even in their losing efforts. And yes, first two losses of the year, painful in the way they, you know, just drop points against Vegas and the Ducks. But that's, again, a better sign from San Jose in the games till the very end, even if they are losing. Let's hear from Alex Wennberg.
Yeah, I mean, I think way better than the Calgary game for sure. Obviously, today had some good minutes, played some solid hockey, but I mean, unfortunately today, a little too many mistakes, and he's coming up short. But like you said, improving, but we still got to find a way to win this game.
I think one of my favorite things about Wennberg that we've seen since he's joined San Jose is that he keeps a very positive mindset. And I think for a veteran player who's already having a great year, by the way, he had 10 goals last year. He's already got 5 this year. He's playing with more speed. He's playing with more aggression. He's got an active role in the leadership, you know, department of this team. And he sees the positive. And it seems like even after a loss, he's one of those guys who has the ability to smile, who's not going to let it devastate him. Obviously, you know, he's married. He's got a family. He's got some perspective. He knows this is not the end of the world, but you need that around these young players. So I think that his message is one that the young guys need to pay attention to as they go into this four-game homestand. All right, we are out of time, but I will see you all Tuesday as the Sharks get ready for Utah. 7 o'clock game time, 6:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.